That's the way tomatoes are, you know?
Yeah.
They gotta grow, right? You put a tomato in a place where it's never been planted before, it may say, huh, I've never been planted here before. I don't know if I can grow here. But tomato doesn't do that, does it?
No.
It goes right ahead and grows.
Goes ahead and grows, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I was looking through some of the favorite hymns of the Christian faith, you know, some of the favorite hymns. And I was looking through and looking through and looking through, and I saw something that was missing. I saw something that was missing in all those hymns. Mm-hmm. Talking about how great God is, how we praise God, how, God always, how he loves us. Mm-hmm. You know, all those wonderful things, which are really wonderful. There weren't a whole lot of things in there about God is good.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that's kind of strange. But I know there's one song about God is good. And I'm sure you've all heard it. Hopefully you've all heard it. God is good all the time. Y'all heard that?
Yeah.
Everybody heard that? Let's do that song, okay? Because God is good.
Yeah.
And he is good all the time. In fact, the Bible says that when a person came up to Jesus, and he wanted to ask Jesus a question. So he started off by saying, good teacher. You know, da-da-da-da. And Jesus replies, why do you call me good? There's none good but God. Why do you call me good? There's none good but God. Are you calling me God?
Uh-huh.
Oh. That kind of rocked the guy back on his heels a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
And he understood that.
Mm-hmm.
But only God is good.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a revelation. Mm-hmm. Only God is good. Mm-hmm. In another place he says, you know, what man among you who, if his son asked for bread, would give him a stone?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And he said, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your sons, to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, that's interesting. Here's evil people knowing how to do good things.
Mm-hmm.
How far can you go with it?
Yeah.
I don't know. But let's sing. God is good all the time. Y'all remember this song? Kind of, maybe. It's an old one. Mm-hmm. Maybe you'll know. It's not a hymn.
Okay.
God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. If you walk in the valley, and there are shadows all around. Do not fear, he will guide you, he will keep you safe and sound. He has promised, oh, never leave. Oh, And he's good all the time.
All the time.
In fact, he's our definition of what good is.
Yes.
In fact, what's the opposite of good?
Bad.
Evil. Evil is the opposite of good. It's the fruit of the tree, right? Of the knowledge.
Good and evil.
Good and evil. Evil is the absence of good.
Yeah.
Like dark is the absence of light. Right? Evil. So, if God is good, are we supposed to be like God?
Yes.
Yes.
We are, aren't we?
Yep.
We're supposed to be like God. Right? Be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is.
Perfect.
Perfect. Yeah. So, what I wanted to do is, let's look at 1 Peter. We're still on 1 Peter. We did 2 Peter first. Now we're going to do 1 Peter. And I went through it, and I was going through here, and something just jumped out at me with 1 Peter. And it just really, really got me. So let's look at 1 Peter 1, 15. If you got a 1 Peter in your Bible, you won't have to turn very many pages. We'll have this. But look at 1 Peter 1, verse 15, verse 16, okay? Brother David, can you help read that for us?
But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy.
He wants us to be holy because
he's holy.
He is holy.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, holy means to be set apart. We're not supposed to be like the evil in the world. We're supposed to be like the good, which is God.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that what that says? I mean, that's what it says to me. Don't be like other people. Be different. Be different.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's turn the page over to 1 Peter 2, 1, if you have to turn the page. Now, Peter is wanting us to be holy. He tells us to drink that sincere milk of the Word, you know. Like little children desire that milk of the Word. And he says in 1 Peter 2, verse 1, he says, Brother Thurston, would you read that?
1 Peter 2 and 1?
Yes.
Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile, and hypocrisies and envies, and all evil speaking.
All evil speaking. He ranks evil speakings in there with malice and guile and hypocrisy and envies.
Yep.
He ranks it right in there. Well, what is evil speaking?
Anything that's contrary to God.
Yeah.
Anything that's contrary to God.
Even doubt.
Doubt.
Yeah. Don't speak doubt, that's evil speaking. That's right.
Don't speak doubt, speak faith, right?
Yeah.
What if I come around and I was insulting somebody?
That's evil.
That's evil.
That's evil speaking, isn't it? If I'm running somebody down.
Yeah.
If I'm gossiping about somebody. Or if I'm just saying, cursed you, you know? Yeah, that's evil speaking, right?
Yeah.
You know, the Bible warns and says, don't even call someone a fool.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't even
unless,
do that.
Unless at the same time, where God calls them a fool.
We'll let God do it. We will do it ourselves.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear you. So, evil speaking is, when someone says something bad to us, insults us, we tend to return the favor, to speak. But it's not much of a favor, is it?
Mm-hmm.
You return it, it's a curse.
Yeah.
But you say that about me, I'll find something bad to talk to you. Kelly can't call the pot black. You ever heard that one?
Yeah.
They're saying, you can say something bad about me, I'll just show you. You can't say anything bad about me because you're just as black as I am or whatever, you know. That's evil speaking. He really stands up against that.
Mm-hmm.
When we speak evil, are we doing evil?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we'll look it down in verse 12. No, second, 1 Peter 2. Honey, would you read that? Verse 12.
having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation.
Oh, now Peter's saying, giving us a recommendation, giving us some advice. Mm-hmm. He says, you know, you've got people who do evil, okay, mm-hmm. Gentiles and so, and they're going to call you evildoers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
You're right.
That's an insult.
Yeah.
Isn't that? That's an insult.
Yeah.
But they call us evildoers. But he says, keep your conduct what? Good.
Good. Yeah.
Keep your conduct good. So that when they call you evildoers, they can be what? What does it say? They'll see your good works.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And they'll say, whoa, when God comes to visit, they'll have to glorify God. All right?
Mm-hmm.
All right? But they all shall see your good works. Even though they speak against you and say you're evildoers, they'll actually see your good works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it'll convict them.
Yeah.
Yes.
It'll convict them.
It will.
And what they said wasn't true.
Mm-hmm.
You see that?
Mm-hmm.
It'll convict them when God comes to glorify it. And they'll have to glorify God.
Yeah.
Now look at verse 15. Go ahead, if you read that one next one, honey.
For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men.
Oh. So he's following up on that thought. In other words, when you do good, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It'll shut them up.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, it'll shut them up.
Yeah.
All right. Now, verse 20. Mary, you want to read verse 20?
For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if, when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
When you suffer,
mm-hmm.
you take it patiently.
Yeah.
All right? When, in other words, when evil is done to you,
mm-hmm.
instead of slapping them back,
mm-hmm.
and when they slap you, they'll slap you back. Instead of doing that, you take it patiently. What does it say it happens? What is that? Oh, my goodness. You do well. You do well.
Mm-hmm.
You take it patiently.
Mm-hmm.
What? See, that is acceptable with God.
Yeah.
God likes that? Yeah. Yeah, he likes that.
Don't forget when you do well and suffer for it.
Yeah. Well, you do well, right?
Yeah.
And you suffer for it. Now, if you do evil, you suffer for it. It doesn't count, does it?
No.
It doesn't count. Okay, drop down to verse 23. Who, when he was reviled, talking about Jesus here, who, when he was read 21 through 23. That'll give us a good start on this.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody read that. You want to read that?
For you.
Yeah.
For even hereunto were he called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that suffered, that judges righteously.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Peter presents Jesus as our example here.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
He says that he's our example. All right, we follow in his steps.
Yes, we do. And you know what we don't do a lot of times? We might take it patiently sometimes and feel for it. The reason Jesus has that he committed himself to him. I've never thought about doing, I guess I've done it accidentally before, but I've never thought about purposely when I'm in a situation, because I live by myself, I'm not in too much. And you commit to Jesus, and then when you commit to him in that situation, it's what takes care of it all, and you commit to God. I've done it before, but never consciously thought about committing it to him. When you're in a situation and somebody's attacking you, you go to the Father immediately and tell him to help you, and I commit this to you, instead of just doing it from your own overflow. Have you ever thought about doing that?
I really hadn't thought of it that way.
I hadn't. I've accidentally done it before, but not on purpose.
Amen.
I guess out of your overflow, you can do it. It's not an accident. If you stay close enough, it's just an automatic thing. But sometimes you're not always that spiritually strong, so you need to do it. Like just something simple, like a husband and wife having an argument. If you stop right there and realize, I don't have to be right. Lord, I commit this to you.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Mm.
Somebody in church says something you're not quite sure of, and you're a little concerned, you want to make your point right. Lord, I commit this to you. Mm-hmm. Give me the strength and the words to stay, the peace that I need to overcome this and take it and help this person be both. You know, mm-hmm. I never thought of that.
Yeah.
Like I said, spiritually I've done it before, but that's just out of an overflow. But
right. Yeah.
That's one of the things I admire about Brother Thurston.
Yes.
You know, and something I struggle with, including in my own life. You know, I get up, I read the Bible, you know, and I get up and go away throughout the day. And it's so often you get caught up in everything you got to do that day. Mm-hmm. And all the things that you're doing, and you don't have in the forefront of your mind God. You know, you have God in the background of your mind, but not in the forefront. And so many times you come into something, it's like, oh, I should have thought to ask the Holy Spirit what to do in that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know? I should have thought about the Holy Spirit. I should have asked him what to do in this case. Mm-hmm. It would have been a whole lot easier, you know,
yep.
if I'd have just stopped and listened to him and asked him right then. Mm-hmm. You know? So it's a struggle for me to constantly keep God in the forefront of mm-hmm. my life. You know, Buffin would tell me she would go shopping, and she would say, okay, now, Father, do I buy this or buy that? You
yes,
know, this sort of thing.
Wise.
And I'm going, I don't think about that, mm-hmm. but I should.
Yeah.
I should have him forefront in my mind all the time like that. Mm-hmm. She's a real example for me. I should have him in my mind at the forefront in everything that I do, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it's just, life would be a whole lot easier, wouldn't it? If I could remember to do that, mm-hmm. you know, things would just flow a lot better, you know. Anyway. But yet, he's our example. When he was insulted, mm-hmm. when he was reviled, mm-hmm. when people gossiped about him, he didn't turn around and turn the tables on, right? He mm-hmm. reviled back again. He didn't do that.
He mm-hmm. could kill them if he wanted to, you know?
Yeah. So let's go down to 1 Peter 3:1. Okay? 1 Peter 3, I'll read this one. It says, likewise, wives, mm-hmm. be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's 1 Peter 3:1. And then he kind of repeats that down in 1 Peter 3:6 with an example. He says, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children if you do good. That is your mm-hmm. conduct of their wives. Mm-hmm. If you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. This is a ESV. For some reason I switched from KJV to ESV. So it's saying here, even if you've got a husband that doesn't believe.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Or even a believing husband.
Yeah. Thanks.
I
Thanks,
mean,
man. I appreciate that.
You see her conversation.
That's right. That's
and
right.
You can decide that in a good way.
That's right. That's right, Mary. You're right. So anyway, you do good even though that non-believing husband or believing husband or whatever, a contentious husband, you do good anyway. And mm-hmm. you might win him over. Right?
Yes.
It says, all right, that's good. All right, I like that.
That was your own example, not
really? You got me on that one. Okay, 1 Peter 3:9 and 17, and this whole passage here is really about the same sort of thing that we've been talking about. And Peter just comes right out and says, this is what I'm getting at, guys. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm saying. He says, in verse 9 of 1 Peter 3, it says, do not repay evil for evil.
Yeah.
Or reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, bless.
Yeah.
For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing.
Oh, glory.
If you bless, it says you will obtain a blessing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You want a blessing?
Yeah.
Go around blessing people.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what he says. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit.
Yeah.
Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Who's he talking to? Brother David points to his chest. Yeah. He's talking to us, isn't he? Yep. He's talking to Christians. He's not talking to unchristians. He's talking to Christians.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking to Christians. He said, we need to turn away from evil.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Even just because you're saved doesn't mean you can't say something mean to somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the eyes of the Lord, verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Whoa. Now here we are saying, oh, we can do evil.
Mm-hmm.
We can be Christians and do evil. But it says the face of the Lord is what?
Against us.
Mm-hmm. We don't want the face of the Lord against us. We're Christians, we don't want the face of the Lord against us.
No.
Verse 13, now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Y'all want a blessing? Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. Like you were saying earlier today, Brother Thurston. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience. So that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame.
Yes.
Heard that before, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil.
Mm-hmm. And the flesh don't want to suffer now. Yeah, I mean, the flesh wants to rile up and just tell you how he feels.
That's right. That's right. Chapter 4, verse 14 through 15. It says, if you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed. Whoa. Because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of
rest
you,
upon you. Oh my God.
Suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Mm-hmm. If you're going to suffer, suffer for doing right. Don't suffer for doing wrong.
Yeah.
Woo. And remember, murderer being somebody that's has a hatred or someone that's speaking evil of somebody else.
Yes, right.
It's not like physically killing person.
He can murder you with your
mouth. Good point, Mary. Good point. Mm-hmm. Good point. That's right. We can kill with our tongue. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. 1 Peter 4:19. Jumping down a few verses. Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good.
Mm-hmm.
While doing good.
Amen.
Now, this seems to be a theme that's running throughout 1 Peter, right? Because we've been through it just about every chapter.
Yes.
Jesus.
So look in this, look in that last chapter, chapter 5, and see if we can sum this thing up. What's the theme of 1 Peter? 1 Peter 5:12. Let's look at this verse and see what it says. It says, he's writing this, he says, by Silvanus, or Silas, okay, he's writing this letter, and he says, this is who wrote it for me, or I'm sending it by him. A faithful brother, as I regard him, I have written briefly to you. Okay, so apparently he was a scribe who wrote it. And so Peter's saying, I've written to you, Silvanus has written it out for me, and I've written this to you, and I've done it exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. This is the true grace of God.
Mm-hmm. Jesus.
This is the true grace of God. We want to know what the true grace of God is. You know? We got a lot of preachers today talking about grace, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Grace. Preaching grace.
Amen.
But this is the true grace of God.
It is.
He says. This is. Do good. Don't speak evil of someone, even when they attack you.
Yeah.
Right? But speak peace to them. Bless them. That's the true grace of God. You always speak good, even though you're getting beat up.
Yes. You know, Ray, that gets so opposite of what some, we got some people teaching grace and they're doing a great job. And some we have is not doing a great job. They're saying you can sin because God done already paid for your sins and you're under grace, you're not under the law, you know, sin, you know. Mm-hmm. But although God paid for it, you're still responsible for walking in what he paid for.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
They shouldn't turn grace into lasciviousness.
Yeah.
We studied that in the book of Jude, how they turned mm-hmm. the grace of God mm-hmm. into lasciviousness. Live like you want to live. Mm-hmm. Do what you want to do. Yeah. And that's the generation that some of the generation is saying, because it's appealing to the flesh. Mm-hmm. You know, anything appealing to the flesh, you know, if you don't want to walk that straight and narrow and the true grace of God, what appealed to your flesh, that's what you'll lean to. And mm-hmm. when I heard that teaching, I said, my God, what planet they've been living on? They think you can sin. Don't worry about it. God took care of your sin at the cross. And he did, but that's a misinterpretation of him mm-hmm. taking care of our sins at the cross.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about the flesh welling up, and we're going to begin with this. But, you know, there's nothing that makes your flesh well up than when someone does you wrong.
And
you know you're right. That makes sense. If you've done wrong and you kind of understand it, when you've done right and somebody attacks you,
and when that flesh wells up, you say, yeah. Justice! I want justice!
Right.
And you're ready. Who's that that scratched my car? Who's that that stole my whatever, you know? Who's that that did this? Who are you to say that about me? You know, and our flesh just wells up. And yet, the true grace of God is to bless them. Yeah. Lord, bless them. They needed it.
Save them.
Maybe they need it more than I did. I can always get another, but bless them.
Make sure you save
bless
them.
Bless them. Mm-hmm. Because it's the goodness of God that draws men to salvation.
Amen.
Let's pray. Let's thank God for that. He is good.
Amen.
Let's be good too.
Amen.
Father, thank you so much that you are good. We thank you that you have called us to be good.
Jesus.
Not to be evil.
Jesus.
Not to speak evil, but to be good and speak good, to speak blessings on people.
Jesus.
And we thank you for that, Father, because by doing that, we receive blessings. Now bless our fellowship together. Bless today.
Yes.
Bless the church service. Bless everyone who comes.
Yes.
Not only in this church, but every church, Father.
Yes.
May they hear the word of God.
Yes.
May they be convicted in their spirit, and then may they turn, Father,
turn
to a bright and shining way.
Shaka-tati.
And take that straight and narrow path.
Yes.
And turn to you, Father, and be blessed.
Ha. Yo.
We thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, that was good.
Man.